Sometimes following the Lord doesn't turn out the way we expect it will. Maybe, for instance, we one day really enjoy hearing a story from the Word, like the story of David fighting Goliath. And we see how David won because he trusted in the Lord. But then another time, maybe we're feeling afraid, and we want to put our trust in the Lord, like David did, but we still feel afraid. And we might wonder, what happened to my trust in the Lord? Maybe even, what happened to the Lord? And we wonder why we're still afraid and confused. And you can imagine that this is how the disciples must have felt when they saw their Lord captured and crucified. They had followed him. They'd left everything to follow him. They'd seen him work miracles. They'd heard him teach, and they hoped that this wise, loving, miracle worker, this prophet, would become a king who would redeem Israel from their enemies. But then suddenly, the man they'd hoped would be king was betrayed, mocked, and nailed to a wooden cross until he died. So, with heavy heart, two of the Lord's disciples made their way from Jerusalem to the little village of Emmaus, arguing about everything that had happened. And we read that Jesus himself, being near, went with them. But their eyes were held so that they did not know him. Now, as they're walking, as though he were a friendly stranger, he asks what they're discussing and why they're so sad. And they, in turn, are shocked. How could this man not know everything that had just happened? This was the main terrible, tragic event of the day. And so one of them asks if he's just a visitor who doesn't know what's been happening. And they ask this thing of Jesus himself, the very person they're talking about. But he simply asks, what things? And so they tell him everything, all their hopes, how he was killed, and also the strange news that some women brought a report of angels that Jesus was alive. Jesus listens and then tells them that they've misunderstood the scriptures. He says, "O thoughtless and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." They thought the crucifixion was unexpected, but this man is saying to them that the Messiah's death was predicted long ago and that there was a reason for it. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? Do you notice what he called them? He said, thoughtless and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Can you imagine how it would feel to be called thoughtless and slow of heart? It might not have felt very good, but they were already terribly miserable and confused. The Lord was simply helping them understand the reason why. And sometimes it can be a relief to have your troubles named and explained. And it must have got them thinking. Maybe they had been so busy thinking about what had happened that they hadn't stopped to think from the scriptures about what had happened. Maybe they'd been so disappointed that this king had been killed that they had forgotten to think about what he was king of. And perhaps also being told that they were thoughtless and slow of heart to believe the prophecies, maybe they felt a ray of hope, like, well, if they'd missed something, maybe that meant there was still room for hope. There was more that they didn't know. And so they kept on listening and kept on walking. And this man helped them see the scriptures like they had never seen them before. You can imagine him telling the story of creation, of Noah, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of David, the king, and telling them, these aren't just stories about the past. These are stories about the Christ, this man you've been following for years. These ancient stories explain all about this Christ they have known and loved. And not only does the Old Testament explain why the Christ died, it also explains that he will rise again. Perhaps Jesus reminded them of the prophet Jonah, how he was stuck in the belly of the whale 3 days, and on the third day he was brought back. The third day, you can imagine them thinking, that's today. Maybe what the women said about the angels and what the angels said was true. These are some of the things concerning himself that Jesus may have told them. And after hours of walking and listening, they drew near the end of their journey. And they were so eager to stay in the company of this man that when they neared the end, it looked like he was going to keep on walking. And they urged him to pause his journey, to join them. They pressed him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day has declined. And so he goes in to abide with them. Now let's pause here for a moment and think about how far the disciples had come. Not just the miles they'd traveled, but the difference in the state of mind before and after. Before, they're very anxious, they were confused, they were slow of heart to believe. And now, they've heard the spiritual meaning of the scriptures, and we can imagine this man that they don't know is the Lord has given them hope through telling them about the word. And we see this change of state, because instead of being full of their own worries and arguing with each other, they're now being thoughtful of this stranger who's spoken the word to them, and they reach out in kindness. They can't bear the thought of him traveling alone into the night. And they say, come, stay with us, keep us company. And so we see that love and that charity for not only a stranger, but for this voice of wisdom and this sharing of the word with them. They want that with them. Now, this story took place nearly 2,000 years ago, but it is also a story of how the Lord comes to us after life has turned upside down for us, after we have suffered some temptation or trial. Like these two disciples earlier in the Lord's ministry, when we start out choosing to follow the Lord, we may have a simple belief that if we follow him, everything will turn out the way we hope it will. And just to be clear, the disciples weren't bad. It's true in general that when we follow the Lord, everything will turn out okay in the end. But they didn't understand the big, complete picture, and neither do we necessarily when we start out worshiping the Lord. If we want to walk with the Lord on the road to Emmaus, we also, like the disciples, need to start out in simplicity, believing the Lord. But as those disciples discovered, we might find that following the Lord is difficult. It doesn't always mean that our natural life will be easy. Now, sometimes we do bad things and we suffer the consequences and that's unhappy, but often bad things just happen to us, even when we are trying to follow the Lord. We might lose a job. We might have a bitter disagreement with a friend and have that friend go out of our lives. Someone we love might get sick or even die. And when these sorts of things happen to us, like those disciples, we can wonder, where's the Lord in all this? Sometimes the hardest things that we experience are when it feels like our very effort to follow the Lord, our very faith, is betrayed and mocked and nailed to a cross and buried in a tomb. And then we wander about bewildered, wondering what has gone wrong and why our life has turned upside down. Maybe we have an inkling that the Lord is still out there, like that message from the angels, but we're so busy going over how we are unhappy and how we're confused and disappointed that for a time we may not really believe it's true. And even as we are grieving and wondering where the Lord is, Jesus, being near, goes along with us. But our eyes are held so that we don't realize it's him. All we may sense for a while is a sense of perspective, maybe a chance to think, a little distance from us worrying about tomorrow or worrying about the bad thing that happened. And we have a chance to look at our life and think about things. And if we picture ourselves on that journey to Emmaus, we might wonder why the Lord doesn't immediately reveal himself and say everything's going to be okay. But if you think about what the problem was with those disciples, they were slow of heart to believe. They were thoughtless. And he tells them so. So sometimes the first thing that happens when we start to reflect on what's going on inside our minds is that we suddenly start feeling bad about ourselves. And we might even hear our conscience say, "Oh, thoughtless and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Maybe we haven't really wanted to believe because it would mean giving up feeling like a victim when someone's hurt us. It's hard to let go of the loop of justification for feeling sorry for ourselves. We are slow of heart to believe that there's a bigger picture, that there's a reality outside of ourselves. But as soon as we reflect, if we're willing to take that rebuke of conscience and be humbled by it and listen to the word, we open up the chance of seeing things in a whole new way. If, like those disciples, we don't get offended and just keep on walking, keep on listening to the word, to the writings, to our own conscience of what is true, then we'll start to hear what the whole word from Moses through the prophets have to say. They tell us about Christ suffering and entering into his glory. And if we keep on thinking, we'll remember Jesus himself saying that you have to take up your cross and follow me. In other words, we too will suffer temptations as he did, and we too will have to have the experience of dying, parts of us dying. But if we keep listening, we'll come to see that the Lord doesn't want anything bad to happen to us, not even in the short term. But he especially doesn't want us to be stuck in the misery of hell. And so just as he allowed himself to undergo temptations even to the point of getting killed, in the same way he permits us to have miserable days, miserable weeks, really difficult years even, have bad things happen to us, be in states of confusion and doubt, because he knows that is the only way that we'll get shaken up enough to be willing to let go of our thoughtlessness, of our slowness of heart. And then if we stick to the word and just keep on listening through that long day, and in the word, walking is a picture of living, so just sticking to our daily life, doing what we need to do, and all the while keeping an ear open to the word, then, like those disciples, we'll reach the end of that journey, of that phase. And it may end, this particular section of our lives may end in this manner, that after that nice long walk with the Lord, we've calmed down a bit. Our temptations, our miseries have faded, and we may have a new temptation. We may suddenly see the possibility that the word could go out of our life. Maybe we don't need it anymore because we're not feeling so miserable. But like the disciples, we can recognize, wait a minute, I don't want this living word to go out of my life. And so, like the disciples, we can say, we can press it, urge that voice of conscience and that voice of kindness and wisdom from the word and say, abide with us. It's getting late. There's darkness out there. Come stay, come be with us. And the reason the Lord also seems as though he's going to go off is because we can only just listen for so long. We'll either part ways or say we want more than just listening. He doesn't want to remain invisible to us, telling us the word with us listening passively. He wants our eyes to be opened from within so that he can give us joy, the joy of his salvation, his resurrection. So when we realize that we have the freedom to say goodbye to the word, because we're actually feeling okay now, we also have the freedom to do the opposite. To say, I want that word, that living word in my life. I'm not exactly sure where the Lord is in all this, but this wisdom from Scripture, from the heavenly doctrine, it has helped me understand my own thoughts and feelings. It's helped me understand my relationships and see past the appearances that make me want to give up in a marriage or in a friendship or at a job. I don't want less of it. I want more of it. I must have it. Please come. Come into my heart. I want this word to be how I relate to other people. I want to take it in permanently and become this sort of person. That's what the disciples were saying to the Lord when they pressed him, even though they didn't quite know who he was, to come and abide with him. And that's when it happens. When we have taken in the word and then we respond with affection, with love, we are allowing the Lord to unblock our spiritual sight. And our eyes will be opened and we will know him. We'll recognize that the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the divine human himself, has been in the word, in our conscience all along. He has been walking with us every step of the way. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he spoke to us in the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Amen.